Imagine watching the Oscars and seeing a stunning designer gown on the red carpet. Within days, nearly identical versions appear in stores for a fraction of the price. Surprisingly, this copying is perfectly legal. Fashion designs receive virtually no copyright protection in America, yet the industry continues to thrive creatively. This paradox challenges our fundamental assumptions about innovation and intellectual property. The traditional view, enshrined in the Constitution, suggests creators need control over copying to incentivize creation. But across numerous industries, fashion, cuisine, comedy, and more, innovation remains vibrant despite rampant copying. In some cases, copying actually accelerates innovation. As technology makes copying increasingly easier, understanding this knockoff economy offers an optimistic counterpoint to fears that easier copying will destroy creative industries. The evidence suggests creativity and copying can not only coexist, but sometimes benefit each other. The American fashion industry has flourished despite uncontrolled copying, with greater design diversity than ever. When Paris Hilton wore a flower-printed Foley plus Corinna dress on Letterman, Forever 21 quickly produced a nearly identical copy, a common practice in this $1.3 trillion industry. Fashion evolved from a Paris-centered handmade industry to a global phenomenon where fast fashion retailers like Zara and H&M rapidly produce runway knockoffs. Despite complaints about copying since the 1920s, fashion designs remain unprotected in America because they're considered useful articles where creativity and practicality merge. Fashion's unusual economics explain why copying fuels innovation. Designer items are positional goods purchased largely to signal the owner's status. Their value requires balance. Enough people must have the item to signal its desirability, but when too common, its status value diminishes. Copying accelerates this cycle, hastening demand for new designs. The culinary world exhibits the same paradox, rampant copying alongside flourishing creativity. America's $600 billion restaurant industry offers chefs minimal legal protection. Recipes cannot be copyrighted, and anyone can taste a dish, reverse engineer it, and recreate it elsewhere. Today's modernist cuisine represents culinary innovation at its height, with chefs using complex techniques to create edible special effects that command premium prices. Yet innovative dishes like molten chocolate cake or miso-glazed black cod quickly spread to other restaurants in modified forms, with original creators unable to claim royalties. Unlike technologies that improve with new features, clothes simply change. And that change, accelerated by copying, drives consumers to buy new items. Data supports this. Between 1998 and today, prices of women's dresses remain stable across all categories except the most expensive 10%, which increased by over 250%. If knockoffs truly harmed high-end originals, luxury prices would have declined. Copying helps consumers navigate style through anchoring. Despite each season's flood of new designs, identifiable trends emerge through copying and reworking. As one observer noted, if there were not imitation, there could be no fashion. Copying both creates trends and eventually kills them, signaling to consumers what's in style. Unlike perfectly duplicated digital goods, cuisine is inherently analog. No version of a dish is truly identical to another. Consumers experience something distinct when eating a copy, perhaps better or worse, but different. These differences create marketplace differentiation, with copies sometimes even serving as advertisements for originals. Despite lacking legal protection, creative communities develop powerful social norms regulating copying. Joe Rogan's confrontation with Carlos Mencia over stolen jokes exemplifies how seriously comedians take these unwritten rules. While jokes could receive copyright protection, comedians rarely sue. Instead, they've established informal rules that both mirror and extend beyond copyright law, prohibiting the performance of another's material and protecting both expression and underlying ideas. Enforcement happens through escalating punishments. bad-mouthing, ostracism, refusal to collaborate, and occasionally threats of violence. Similarly, elite chefs enforce norms against exact copying through reputation damage and social exclusion. When Australian chef Robin Wickens copied innovative dishes from American restaurants without attribution, the culinary community condemned him, not for using techniques expected in the open-source tradition of staging, but for failing to credit his inspirations and replicating dishes verbatim. When products can be perfectly copied and sold cheaply, creators face challenges. However, some products resist perfect copying, either because they're analog rather than digital, like a chef's handmade dessert, or because they're fundamentally about experiences rather than objects. Many creators have redefined their goods from products into performances. A Mamafuku pork bun eaten at Mamafuku represents an entire aesthetic experience customers willingly pay for: the energy, crowd, decor, and culinary vision. Similarly, while football plays can be freely copied, the execution depends on specific team compositions that can't be quickly replicated. Brands play a surprisingly powerful role in fostering creativity in low IP industries. Consumers willingly pay substantial premiums for branded products even when functionally identical alternatives exist. Advil ibuprofen costs nearly 3 times as much as generic versions, yet maintains 51% market share decades after patent expiration. This brand premium creates an innovation incentive. When innovators link their creations to successful brands, they maintain pricing power even after being copied. Two fundamental factors drive creativity: creation costs and expected returns. While many create for passion, sustained innovation ultimately requires adequate incentives. Two key points make us optimistic about innovation's future despite easier copying. First, creators systematically overestimate their potential benefits. Research reveals that people display pronounced optimism bias, believing they'll succeed where others failed. This effectively subsidizes innovation by encouraging creators to invest more in their work than rational calculation would justify. Second, creation costs are dropping dramatically across many fields. Music production exemplifies this shift. Just decades ago, producing an album required expensive studios and engineers. Today, artists can create professional recordings at home using affordable software. Distribution costs have plummeted even more dramatically. The music industry's battle against copying offers crucial insights. While illegal downloading devastated record company revenues, dropping 60% in a decade, musical creativity itself is flourishing. This paradox reveals how technology simultaneously lowered production costs, actually increasing the supply of new music despite copying. The knockoff economy challenges us to reconsider our assumptions about creativity and copying. Rather than viewing imitation as the enemy of innovation, we might better understand it as part of a complex ecosystem where copying can sometimes stimulate rather than stifle creativity. As technology continues making copying easier across all industries, we face a choice: fight an increasingly difficult battle against imitation, or learn from industries that have thrived despite or because of copying. The future belongs not to those who build the highest walls around their ideas, but to those who harness the creative potential of the copying process itself. What if, instead of fearing imitation, we embraced it as an inevitable part of the creative process? Perhaps the most innovative path forward isn't strengthening intellectual property protections, but building business models that turn copying from threat to advantage, creating a world where creativity thrives not despite copying, but because of it.